cautious.
50s of the loud, turn hippie in the clouds. Ain't no ziplock, we rolling sticky out the pound. I'm in and out of guts while she in and out of town. Say the pussy get wetter when she miss me, so I drown. Thinking on loud, see my time wasted. We the Hennessy fuck, got my mind wasted. Met the tip of
man. Yo, hold on, let's make sure we get this right.
Let's do it.
We got Nick Tanaloo, Houston Astros, third base. Is that correct?
Yeah, third base. Yep.
And more importantly, this quarantine ain't stopping him. He out here putting his work in. Towards like January 21st, Houston Astros invited you to spring training, and now you're just sitting around, right? You're just like, well, what am I gonna do? Yeah,
exactly, man. It's you know, we go down there, we like, you put in like 3 weeks of hard work, and then the virus gets pretty rough in the U.S. And then next thing you know, they're sending you home and telling you to stay indoors. And that's what we do. Like, you know, I got the workout in today, but other than that, you know, I'm moving houses right now just down the street. So if I'm getting out of the house, it's just going straight to my house. But other than that, man, I'm just hanging out, just trying to not be so bored, you know.
Man, and we're so glad to have you on the show. Let's talk battle rap. And I have to ask, in this downtime, are you watching some battle rap?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, I never got into the female raps, like the rappers as much. But lately I've been watching, like, I saw like a little snippet of My Verse and RX. And then, you know, I know Jazz.
It was good for the eyes, right? It was nice on the eyes.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And bro, they got bars too, so it's like
the fact.
You know, I feel it.
Niggas like, you are not getting me tripped up, brother.
my man Vlad is married, so he's like, I ain't concurring.
Listen, I know exactly how to walk all around them landmines. Good answer, brother. Good answer.
I hear that.
Word, man. No, but that's dope though. Like, yo, how frustrating has it been though? It's like everything gets started. You're like, yo, we're about to go, and then it's like, sit your ass down until who knows how long. Like, what does that do to your psyche?
I mean, it's tough. You know, this offseason, we put in, me and my trainer, we put in a lot of work just trying to transform some certain things with my body and just movement. So that was, it's tough because you get to spring and you're like, man, this is my year, whatever. But there's not much you can do about it. You know, it's just the hand you dealt and you got to deal with it. And hopefully, like people say, if everyone stays in and just, you know, avoids big crowds, hopefully this goes away soon. But, you know, I'm not taking it too much as a joke because there's just so many deaths around it, you know, and it's just, you don't know, like, and I try to reach out to people I ain't talked to in a while because you just never know with this kind of deal going on. So I just try to take it real serious and just abide by the rules, really.
Absolutely.
I got a chance to watch a bit of a story that you have online, and I got a chance to read up on you. And the work ethic that you kind of had is interesting because you've always, like, believed in yourself. And as one part of your story, I laugh where you're like, my father used to wake me up in the morning and make me run. He'll chase me with this purple truck.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and if I ain't outrun the truck, I was going to get run over.
Yeah, no. Nah, I might exaggerate. I don't think he would have ran me over. But he might have, you know, it might have been some other consequences when we got home or something. But, yeah, he definitely – I got a little sister now. So, I mean, she's old. She's 15. But he don't stay on her as hard as he did me, which is probably good for her because, I mean, he was pretty tough growing up, to be honest with you. But it helped out at the end, you know, the work ethic.
Absolutely. I know for me, being Haitian and coming from, like, an international background, our fathers don't play with us, boy. It's like, listen, man, you ain't going down that path. Like, I didn't bring your ass to this country to not be doing that. So it's like waking up early and doing all that stuff. Like, I totally, like, I could totally feel where that was coming from because we were waking up early as hell too and getting work done. And it was like, while everyone is sleeping, you got to be out there doing something. So I totally related to that part of it, man.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I got to ask, can you tell us the origin of, like, your fandom in battle rap? Like, where did it start? Like, what was your first battle? Who was the first battle rap you watched? Like, when did you kind of, like, became a fan of the culture?
I can't remember who my first – what the first battle I watched. I mean, of course, when I was real young, I watched the 8 Mile tape, and I saw that, which was on beat, which was, it's still dope. I still think, like, battle rapping on beat is dope. But then I really got, I got hooked on, I always saw snippets, but the battle that kind of got me was DNA versus Disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, I mean, I felt like, for me watching it, Disaster's first round was crazy. And like the crowd was hype and everything. And then for DNA to come out with that first line about like ironic, his father died on that day. And I was just like, hold on now, he's talking. And then, you know, then DNA goes and just, it was just a classic battle, man. They both came with it. I wish, you know, I know they did that round two thing, like the guest thing. I wish they would have just had a regular rematch and let them, you know, go at it. But that battle was crazy.
Yeah, Drake being there.
Yeah, I mean, like, especially, that's the thing with DNA is he's so nasty with the freestyles that, like, Disaster, like, messing with him at that, it just made his, his rounds so much nicer because DNA, bro, you can't really mess with him on stage because he's so good at coming off the top and putting something on you.
He caught Twerk like that. Remember when Twerk tried to try to jump in his line? He's like, rookie mistake. You should have kept the mouth shut. And Twerk's like,
I think the beauty of Disaster and DNA, like a little bit of the backstory, is like the match was first kind of like booked out in the West. It got canceled. And then it was booked in Toronto. Disaster's there, and DNA missed his flight. And DNA was like, "Well, that's it. I missed my flight. I can't make it. I'm broke." And then somebody's like, "Nah, you're getting on this flight. We're paying whatever we gotta pay. We're gonna get you there." And they got him there just in time for his battle. So he's coming like right off the plane, and you know, like traveling from like city to city, state to state, like just that little bit of just like airtime could like fatigue you a little bit. Got right off the plane into the venue and gave that legendary performance.
Yeah, that battle was crazy, man. Like, I just felt like that was like DNA on the map in the sense of like he's always been good, but it's almost like that first round right after Disaster finished his round, DNA's it's almost like his back was against the wall and he just came out like just shooting. Mm-hmm. It was just crazy.
You're a big Hollow fan too.
Yeah, I like Hollow. I mean, Hollow is just, I mean, he's OG. Like, he just. He's so good, man. In the sense of like, he can get real gut on you, and then he could name the flips, the schemes. It's just he got so much in his arsenal. It's hard to not like him. You know, you got other rappers. I got other battle rappers that I like, but Hollow's always been up there for me because, like, I feel like every battle he goes into is just he could come out with something and be like, it's almost like you're watching it for the first time.
He's so unorthodox with it that you just never really know what you're going to get with Hollow. And like, he's always so experimental, too, that sometimes he might go a little too far. But then that's where that line of genius lies. It's like, okay, I might be going too far, but I might be doing something that's never been done before.
Yeah, and like then, he might seem like he's reaching during a battle, but then it's like, That's just Hollow's creativity, and then next thing you know, maybe a month down the road, you got other battle rappers going that same route.
Exactly. Somebody's always got to keep. He's always trying to push the boundary. I'll give him that.
Yes.
You might get an incinerator and a generator and all that stuff, but for every one of those, you're gonna get something that's like off the hook. Also, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like he's no mastery of just one thing. He's just so versatile. He's like a little Swiss Army knife, honestly.
Yep.
And so, like, I look at that, I'm just like, shit, man. Yo, I'll ask you, because we love to do this all the time in sports and battle rap, like compare moments to battles, players to rappers. If you had to pick a baseball player to compare to Hollow, who would you pick?
Let me see, man. Because he's up there for me. Like, I don't necessarily, like, I don't really do the GOATs, like I try to stay away from that because everybody's so.
You're an athlete. You'll get caught up in it all day.
Yeah. So like, man, for Hollow, I'd have to put him like in a sense of like what you said with the Swiss Army knife. So I can't think of somebody off the top of my head, but like, let's just say this. I say Hollow. Hollow's battle rap is like Marwin Gonzalez in like 2017. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all know him, but like, man, he was he got MVP votes that year. He had played, I mean, dude, he played almost every position besides pitcher and catcher in the sense of like, it didn't matter what they brought to the table with him. Every day he brought his A game, and that's how I feel like Hollow is. Now, definitely, I think Hollow is like a household name, like a Mike Trout. You know what I'm saying? But I think the play of, like, him, like, Marwin Gonzalez being able to play every position on the field, that's how I feel like Hollow is.
Right, and be a switch hitter at the same time. Exactly. I want to be doing all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Like, Marwin did it all, and that's how I feel like Hollow is, man. And Hollow's done so much for the battle rap culture. It's crazy.
Do you have any of your teammates that also watch battle rap? Because I feel like you guys have so much downtime sometimes that you guys are just binging content, sharing movies, sharing shows, sharing YouTube videos.
So I think my first, like, I've always, my brother's into music and stuff, like, just low key. So, like, I've always been around a rap game. And so me and him throw bars back and forth at each other. No dissing, but just putting it out there. And then I had my first battle rap against a player, like, I want to say it was like 3 years ago, like in the locker room.
That must have been hilarious.
You battled another player in the locker room?
Yeah, it was in the locker room. I mean, I knew because he watches a little bit battle, but man, like when I was in college, I lived and breathed battle rap.
I would love to know what you spit to him. Were you like, coach put you in and you were right out? I got a hit that you struck out.
Nah, not like that. I can't quite remember what I was saying. We were going at it. He had some good lines, but my thing with, like, I actually, this year in spring training, we had Dusty Baker for the first time. Mm-hmm. And, we got a guy on the team who's in AAA with me. His name is Chaz. He freestyles a little bit, but he just funny with it. He ain't really trying to do nothing. Mm. So they made us rap battle in front of the whole, like, big league team, Dusty Baker and all that.
So I've
been battle rapping, man. It's so much fun to get out there and just, like, express words and just get, like, I like the performance-wise.
Right, and I got to figure that it's got to resonate with athletes too, France, because it's so competitive, and there's so, because you got boxing, you got MMA, and then you've got battle rap. And even with the pitcher and the hitter, it's mano a mano. It's like, you bring your heat, I'm going to bring my heat, and only one of us is going to leave here victorious. So I think that's why, like, athletes really resonate with battle rap so much, because it's one of those few things where it's like, it's one-on-one, and only one person can survive this thing. And it's so unique, man. It's so different.
Yeah. That's why I like, I mean, a lot of people I feel like that I know that watch, some people don't like the small rooms. I like the small rooms just because, like, when you go to somebody's hometown, it's already, you know, you already at a loss for the crowd-wise. Like, there's some times, bro, where I'll watch Cortez, and I'm like, man, he really talking, but no one's feeling it because he on the road or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, like I like the small rooms just because you got in a small room, you got nothing but battle rappers really, and a few associated. But so they know what they're hearing, so they really can, you know. It ain't like it's a away crowd you're trying to deal with.
We laugh, right? And Cortez, that's my man. He's my idol. Like, I've known Cortez like as a fan, obviously, for over a decade. But now I'm building a relationship with him, being a media member. I've always told him, like, his old Red performance reminds me of, like, LeBron 2018 finals when he dropped 51 in game one and they still lost. I was like, Cortez, you did the best you could have done, and it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It breaks my heart. And I think you saw that battle. You were like, yo, we got to talk about it. Like, he slept on here. How'd you feel about the Cortez and old Red battle?
I mean, it's tough because, like, Cortez for me, man, like, I feel like, I mean, don't get me wrong, Cortez gets love, but, like, God, he just got it in him. Like, I mean, his struggle bars is crazy. Like, he's on the level with, like, Chess when I feel like that. Like, I feel like Chess is super nice with the struggle bars. But, I mean, he just ran into an animal that night. That's just how it goes. Like, I mean, that's going to be nice when you got your A game, but dude might just bring it a little bit harder. Oh, Red got the performance down. So it's like, that battle was hot. I think for sure that battle needs, it slept on a little bit from fans on the sense of the Cortez side. I mean, everybody sees old Red, but Cortez had some things that in that battle.
Yeah, it's nothing you could be mad at Cortez in that battle. But old Red, that was like his first title defense. He had the girl holding on to the title belt. He had that glow.
He was loving that.
He was like a wrestler that just came out. He got the oil on, and he's just like walking down to the ring. It's like, yo, no matter what I do tonight, it ain't going to be enough, because the fanfare, the pageantry, and the bars, sometimes it's just going to be your night, you know, because have we seen of late, oh, Red, he's had a couple of rough ones as of late. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it ain't always going to be your night. And it's like Cortez, really, he laid it out that night. And but then when you look at the Hollow Hand battle, he had the glow that night. And he put Hollow Hand in a body bag that night in his hometown. You know what I mean? So he is definitely sometimes going to be your night. It's not going to be your night other times.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to know another battle that like really stood out to you. You're like, oh, like this is significant. I remember it for this moment or this round. Like another real standout battle for you that you kind of like.
It's got to be, man. Like I think, and I get it. Before I say, like I get like him going a little bit Hollywood. And don't get me wrong, he ain't Hollywood, but like Hitman, like he, you know, he's doing his Wild Not thing, all that, whatever. But the Hitman Holla, John the Don, in the sense of Hitman's first round was crazy. And then that was my first time seeing John. And John's first round was crazy. And I was like, man, like, John going to be a problem coming up soon. And sure enough, you know, he took off. But that battle right there, especially when he met Hitman remixed that, the bullets.
Bullets came out.
But the crazy thing is when John said, I'm taking my shot close range, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
We really like baby, John. What's that
for my junior, baby? What's that for my junior? What's that for my junior? That's my junior. Y'all
smell. That battle was hot. I can't lie to you.
Nah, that battle was crazy, man. Hit.
I was in the building for that one, and when I was watching it, because like the year before, Hitman headlined Summer Madness, and the next year he's opening. So this was like, what? You were just a star, and now you're opening the show. This is weird. But he had like such a powerful performance. And John rose to the occasion. It was almost like one of those, like, I'm the veteran, I'm established. You're that guy that's just becoming an all-star, but you have that performance where, like, just kind of, like, slap you on the ass. And it's like, yeah, you good shit.
You belong here now. It was like one of those, like, you're here now, man.
Yeah, he proved himself straight out the gate. Like, that's when everybody was like, okay, John, for real.
It was like, look, John, you don't got to bring in the donuts anymore, man. You don't got to carry the bags. like, it's all good. You one of us now. You can sit at the front of the plane, and you can play cards with us now.
When you said donuts, Nick kind of, like, laughed. He's like, I remember those days.
Yeah.
Did you have any of the hazing? Like, did you have to go through any of that? Does that still go on?
I mean, it might with other teams. I haven't,
he left out.
Yeah, I ain't seen that. But, yeah, I've heard of stuff, but nothing crazy. Like, I haven't had to deal with any of that or seen anything firsthand.
So I'm wondering, it's like with everything changing now in the climate of, you know, everything is so PC and everything has got to be almost by the book now. Can teams even do that anymore? Can you even miss that? Or are guys even like, yo, listen, I'm making millions of dollars. You're making millions of dollars. I ain't doing this shit. Like,
I feel like with those guys that's making big time bucks, it's like they don't even care no more, man. They just like, I want my bread and I want to play. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
No, I hear you on that one.
Damn, man. This, me and Vlad always say this to ourselves, like, battle rap is such a beautiful culture, especially if you love hip hop, like real deep lyricism. But every battle rap fan, especially a hardcore fan, got a little son off in here.
Everybody's a little degenerate in here somewhere.
100%, man. Like, you can't sit there and like, if you're getting hype over like gun bars, it's like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be a little bit different.
Because, France and I, we always talk. I go, yo, France, do you ever listen to the content that we're consuming for like hours
like,
a day?
Like, when you tell it to somebody. Nuts. When you say to somebody just plainly, they're like, what the fuck are you talking about, baby Weston Jr.? What?
Yeah.
Have you ever shown anyone a battle and they just go, yo, nah, man, this ain't for me. What is going on right now?
I haven't done that. I will say this. That time I did battle that dude in the locker room, we had coaches in there, and one of the coaches had to dip out. He wasn't about that life. Which I understood. I was like, go ahead, man.
He's like, he's threatening to shoot him right now. Yeah. I think we need to interject. He's going to shoot him. And he's going to rape his grandma. No, we can't let it happen.
For real. Some of the stuff they say is like, oh, shit. Like, you got to have, like you said, you got to be a little different to accept and respect that all.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. What's the rest of your day looking like at this point?
Honestly, man, I'm about to go in, probably get some food and just kind of chill a little bit. And then, honestly, I just been chilling in the house, just trying to stay stay virus free, you know.
I know with guys who get to your level, successful guys, they usually have a routine that they follow every day. Like, there needs to be some kind of structure. Some guys are just so lucky that they can wing it and be at the top of their game. But I know to get where you're at, there has to be some kind of structure. What's your daily routine and regimen like?
You know, I wake up, man, I try to get a little breakfast in, and then if I got my scheduled, like, lifts that day, I'll get it in or whatever. If I'm not doing my lifts or, like, going to hit or something, I try to stay active at least, like, just something, you know? Mm-hmm. Like we said, Mama Mentality the other day, like you said earlier, like, just watching his videos and him talking about, like, you know, he would feel like he couldn't go to bed, or he would feel unaccomplished if he didn't get, like, some type of workout in every day. And I'm not talking about, like, you need to be out there, like, you know, grinding for real, like, you know, each and every day, but a little bit of something, you know, something right. Just to make you that much better. If you can get a little bit better each day, I feel like you're making your way that way.
Absolutely. I got to ask you also, too, does meditation or anything like that, visualization, play any part into your day and part of that regimen now?
Yeah, I'll say, like, before each of my workouts, me and my trainer, we do, like, a lot of breathing, kind of mm-hmm. just slow the heart rate. And, you know, they believe in meditation, like talking about, like, if you're taking a shower, like, give, like, a good, like, 30, 40 second, like, really, like, turn the water real cold and just try to breathe, you know what I'm saying? Like, because you're facing adversity with that, and just trying to breathe and slow down and not be, you know, your heart moving so fast. And that's just stuff I try to do on a daily basis, just try to wake up and try to start my day like that with a little bit of adversity, and then you go from there.
Yeah. So I know with a couple of sports guys I know, it's like they're literally, they could be eating breakfast, but they're picturing themselves walking through the hall, coming out, hearing the fans, how they're gripping the bat, going through the entire routine. And then by the time they're actually doing it, it's like, it's almost third nature at that point. It's like, I've done this already 4 times today. So now it's like, oh, that ball's a little slower. My swing's a little quicker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely. If I'm riding in the whip, I'll throw my walkout on and I'll start picturing stuff. So I listen to it and I start picturing, like, either coming to the plate or, like, just on deck or something like that.
Yeah, dope.
And two more questions I want to ask you. I read up, right, you were a redshirt sophomore when you left for the draft.
Yeah.
Take us back to that time period when you were considering to go for the draft. Like, what was your mindset like? What was the conversation with people in your camp and family? Like, did you believe in yourself that much? Because at one point, always you have to bet on yourself. What was that time period like?
I mean, it was tough. You know, I had a lot of talks with my family. There was talks about coming back to college. I just felt like, you know, that was my dream always, to try to make it to the big leagues and do all that. So I just wanted to take that shot. But definitely, man, I wouldn't say there was doubt that I could, like, I always believed in myself, but there was doubt in the sense of, like, should I have waited a year, or should I wait one more year and try to come out? But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm happy with my decision. But yeah, definitely. It was a big thinking process with me and my family.
Quick question. Biggest difference between living in Alabama and living in Washington?
Probably the rain, man. Honestly, the Seattle rain is crazy. And in a sense, I was talking to somebody today about it. It's like, it's not the rain you get like in the South, but the downpours, it's almost like, man, is it ever going to stop raining? Mm. It's like a natural mist. But I will say this, Seattle in the summer, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, the beaches in Florida and California and all that's fun, but, bro, Seattle's summers is so nice that's one of my favorite places to be in the summer, just how nice it is out there.
Quick question also, coming from Alabama, Southern Cat, your brother's into hip-hop, what were some of your favorite rappers coming up?
Coming up, man... I say it's weird because, I mean, you always got the ATL guys that kind of paved it, you know, so listening to, like, T.I., you know what I'm saying, Nelly was hot when I was coming up, but my brother really was on the Houston train in the sense of, like, Slim Thug, my brother listened to Paul Wall, he liked the Chopped and Screwed type thing, so I listened to that. But now, you know, everything's kind of changing a little bit with all, like, everybody calls it, like, the mumble rap, whatever. I really mess with it in the sense of, like, it kind of reminds me of battle rap a little bit more now, because you're starting to hear more, like, gun bars, drug bar, like, in the music industry. So I really mess with of course, the ATL is probably, it's got to be top two right now, the hottest. And then really who I mess with, them South Florida boys. Them South Florida boys go hard. So, like, I like them a lot. But, of course, you know, the New York, Cali, they always got their big stars. But, yeah, I'd say Atlanta and Houston growing up was still probably my two favorite in Atlanta, Florida right now.
Nice, man.
Oh, yeah, that's dope, man. That's dope. I got to make sure to at Holla to Don, tell him to stop ducking you.
I mean, y'all saw his was tight. Man, it's like I said, the name flips and then the minor to major. I mean,
we yelling the hollow, fight back.
he nice with it, man. I think what he's doing right now is huge. Cause I mean, for one, like not being able to host big venues and all that, you know, maybe the culture dies a little bit, but now you got, you know, with him and the IG Battle League and you got like DNA and them trying to battle like through live. I mean, it just, I think that's keeping the culture hot. You know what I'm saying? Instead of letting it die down while this time period. And I think Hollow doing a big for the culture right now.
I think we might even have a cultural cleansing now because can't get as much clout as you could have before. Can't just jump out and go battle at some local league. So it's like, who's really into it for the art, the culture, the bars, and who's out there just for the clout? Now, if we're going into this until like June, July, there's going to be some dudes going back. You know what I'm saying? To like the Container Store and going back to packing boxes and just say, man, fuck this shit. This ain't my dream no more. Like back to regular
100%.
Life for me. 100%. Word.
Yo, man. Nick, man, I appreciate your time, brother, man. I know you're a busy man. And it's always amazing for us to talk to another battle rap degenerate. Because, you know, this is a small circuit. So when you find that one person, you're like fuck a battle rap? Yeah, fuck a battle rap. It becomes an amazing conversation.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah, man, I appreciate y'all having me, man. It's always good to talk to people about some battle rap and just talk about, like, some of the classic battles. And I like it, man. It's fun. Awesome.
Vince Carter's a big battle rap fan. And he told the story where he's on the locker rooms on the planes. He's showing his teammates battles on, like, his phone. And he got everybody watching it. And me and Vlad always said to ourselves, yo, these athletes, they gotta be listening to this shit. They have to be.
I think they do. I mean, you saw like KD at the battle. Like, I mean, some of these battle rappers is like, or some of these athletes, I think they are. They might not say they are, but I definitely think they are. And I think once these athletes start really listening to it and like posting it or whatever, I think the industry can only grow from here. It's already huge fan base. But I think with athletes hitting it up too would be another step for them.
Absolutely. Before you go, Nick, who are your top five favorite battle watchers to watch? Not who are the GOATs or the greatest of all time. Just your personal favorite that you're like, yo, I'm gonna start a playlist and I gotta have these five guys on my playlist.
That's gonna be tough. But I was thinking about it today. I was like, it might hit me with the top five.
Of course.
So like, I ain't gonna tell you my top five, but I'll tell you top. The five I like listening to and getting into that battle rap mode. Hollow for sure, just because I listen, you know, I like his schemes, I like his name flips, and I like, you know, every once in a while Hollow get real gut on you. And then I'm gonna go DNA, because DNA like kind of put me on with that, and I like how he freestyles, so I will go DNA for number two. And then, man, this might catch off guard, but really somebody that I really took a liking to, man, was Rex.
Oh, of course. Oh, man. Yeah, that's not going to catch us off guard, baby. We're New York City cats, man. Rex is like, he's one of them dudes.
The Rex ill battle and the Rex verb battle. I mean, when he said Murder Mook wanted what?
Oh, 25K. I'll kill somebody for real.
25K, I'll kill somebody for real.
I escaped four raids and three indictments. My life is exciting. I said, what? The people don't even understand what's going on right now.
You got them three, then you got, I'm gonna roll with Surf because I like Surf. I think he nice. And then my fifth, man. I probably roll Geechee. I like Geechee, man.
That's a great pick.
That's a great five.
Yeah, I like it, man. I tell you, like, honorable, T-Top's in there, and then Rum Nitty, of course. You know, Rum Nitty is
He's a goat.
Yeah, they got to find somebody for him. I don't know.
Vlad is, you know, we're media guys, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some people you're supportive of, you defend. There's some you're critical of. My co-host here is a little bit critical of Rum Nitty, and I'm trying to tell him Rum Nitty is the goat.
Yo, he is an alien, though, friends. Don't act like I don't acknowledge that. No, Rum Nitty is an alien, man.
I love his pen. He for sure, he a problem. Somebody got to do something because he's definitely a problem.
Quick question. If Hitman battles Nitty, who do you have winning? Big stage. Big stage. 2,000 people there.
All right, is Show Out on the stage?
Show Out's there. Yeah. Show Out, Big Gerald, everybody's there.
Okay. I'm going to go bias. I got Hitman taking him down. The reason I say that is because I feel like, and I know sometimes it's different, but I feel like with that battle, Hitman going, that performance is going to be crazy. I mean, but Rum Nitty's nice too. And I don't know, man. It's going to be tough, but I think Hitman got what it, he definitely got what it take, but Rum Nitty's so nice with it, man. It's tough, but I take Hitman. I take Hitman.
Because my partner France here made this tweet that said, no one in STL can beat Rum Nitty.
You know what? It's crazy about that. I think Hitman got a better shot than Verb. I don't know.
Yes, sir.
We all concur there. But yeah. Hitman was the one that took it very personal.
Hitman is so competitive that he blocked France for even thinking that he can lose to Rum Nitty. Crazy.
But I have Hitman's number. Like, I wish him happy birthday. I talk to him all the time. Like, you know, but
Hitman's like, oh, dog, how you not going to think I can't beat Rum Nitty, dog? You crazy.
Hey, is Rum Nitty, was that Rum Nitty and Conceited thing? Was that anything ever come up with that or not?
It's us really just pumping it all the time because Conceited is a pure puncher, the originator, and, you know, he's up there, right? Rum Nitty is now officially trying to pass that echelon, that threshold. So it's like,
he may have done it already, man.
I mean, yes, but I mean, you have to be Conceited to officially put the final stamp. If it never happens, we're going to just be like, we're going to debate forever. But if you get a chance to put them in the ring.
Yeah. I tell you what, we had Conceited on the air for a couple minutes when we spoke to Hitman, and Conceited, he's not scared. He's not scared at all. He's like, what?
Hey, and to be real, like I like Conceited, man. I really do. I feel like
you can say it. You can say it.
It's okay.
I think Nitty would take him. I don't know, but because you know Conceited, his punches is crazy, but the delivery is still good. Don't get me wrong. He one of the goats like with his punches, but Nitty's performance and punches is crazy. So it's like, I feel like the crowd gonna feed off of Nitty a little bit more. I feel like I'd like to see it in a small room just because then I could really get down with the Conceited's punches, you know, and that's gonna be Conceited to coming out to that. You know, he gonna have some, you know, Conceited got some shit for somebody. Mm-hmm. We ain't heard Conceited in a minute, so you know he got some shit.
Nah, but Conceited's such a big money guy and such a big name now. He's gotta come back to that pageantry and that fanfare, and you know, he's got to hear the cheers and all that for it to really go down.
They're going to have to do it on a big stage.
Yeah, and for Nitty to take it, he's going to happen on a big stage, man. It's going to have to.
Yeah.
Word. Oh, man. Nick, it's been a pleasure, brother.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Y'all let me know. I'll be on here all the time. Y'all let me know.
Oh, for sure, man.
We'll definitely have you back on, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Nick Tanelu rocking with us on Let's Talk Battle Rap Podcast. Until next time, everybody, peace.
All right, y'all take it easy, man.